werden, aber es gibt immer noch ein paar Telefone, die diesen DECT-Standard nicht so vollständig sauber implementieren und die kann man dann leider nicht anmelden. Also wir versuchen immer unser Bestes und probieren es teilweise mehrfach. Manchmal hilft einfach Batterie raus und wieder rein und dann noch zweimal versuchen. Aber es gibt auch einfach Telefone, die partout nicht wollen.
Habt ihr schon mal mit anderen DECT-Geräten funktioniert, wie zum Beispiel Babyphone?
Also wir hatten schon mal so Sachen da. Es gibt so zum Umhängen so kleine DECT-Geräte, die auch so als Babyphone gedacht sind. Die hatten wir auch schon mal. Es gab mal welche, die hatten sich ein DECT-Telefon in einen Anzug eingebaut. Da waren dann die Tasten auf dem Jackett vorne drauf. Also da gibt es schon die lustigsten Sachen. Und wir hatten auch mal jemand, der sich so ein DECT-Telefon in ein ganz altes Wählscheibentelefon eingebaut hat und der das dann auch mit durch die Gegend tragen konnte. Also hier kommen schon die seltsamsten Geräte an, unter anderem auch selbstgebaute.
Und jetzt mal so rein, so technisch, funktioniert ihr wie eine große Telefonanlage zu Hause?
Ja, so in etwa, also so wie viele Telefonanlagen zu Hause wahrscheinlich, wenn man mehrere zusammennimmt. Vom Prinzip haben wir eine Anlage, wo jede Menge DECT-Antennen angeschlossen sind. Diese DECT-Antennen sind so wie Access Points im gesamten Gebäude verteilt und werden zentral halt von einer Telefonanlage beackert. Und da melden wir die Telefone an und dann kann man halt auch im gesamten Haus durch die Gegend laufen, ist dann erreichbar darüber.
Wer mehr von oder über den CCC im BCC erfahren will, höre Radio in deinem Lokalradio oder per Stream.
Behind enemy lines.
Der 28. Chaos Communication Kongress vom 27. bis zum 30. Dezember 2011 im Berliner Kongresszentrum.
In Berlin findet derzeit der 28C3, das ist der 28. Chaos Communication Kongress statt. Das ist eine jährliche Veranstaltung vom Chaos Computer Club. Jetzt in Berlin ist Oleander Reis. Guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen. Du musstest ja mal wieder mich ausopfern.
Ich musste dich, wie immer, wenn ich jemand hier in irgendeiner Sendung wegen Techniksachen anruft, dann ist es immer der Oleander Reis.
Warum?
Weil das so ist.
Okay.
Ja, das hat geheime Gründe.
Ich bin mit anderen Menschen.
Oleander, du klingst so herrlich wach, ne?
Ja.
Das liegt wahrscheinlich daran, dass du unsere Frühschicht in Berlin nicht empfangen kannst.
Ja, daran und zum anderen, dass ich heute Nacht im NOC-Helpdesk gesessen habe.
Wo hast du gesessen?
Am NOC-Helpdesk.
Was ist das?
Das ist der Helpdesk, also wenn du ein Problem hast, gehst du dorthin vom Network Operation Center. Das heißt, die das Netzwerk dort treiben.
Das heißt, du konntest wieder nicht deren Infrastruktur einfach mal so lassen, wie sie ist?
Nein, doch. Da hatte ich überhaupt keinen Einfluss drauf. Ich war eigentlich nur dazu da, um zu bestätigen, ja, es geht nicht, mal ein Kabel zu holen oder zu sagen, probier das und das mal.
Alles was klar.
Was aber mitten in der Nacht zum Glück nicht vorgekommen ist, dass irgendjemand was zum Meckern hatte, außer einer.
Ole, du bist jetzt auf dem 28C3. Habe ich den eben soweit gut beschrieben als jährliche Großveranstaltung des Chaos Computer Clubs?
Ja, sollte man vielleicht mal sagen, was das überhaupt ist.
Also, ja, erklär das doch mal bitte.
Da treffen sich Sympathisanten und Mitglieder des CCCs, also des Chaos Computer Clubs. Der ist jetzt, wie gesagt, der 28. Das heißt, den gibt es seit 28 Jahren. Und findet seitdem her, soweit ich weiß, jährlich statt und ist auch bisher nicht ausgefallen. Ja, und das, was heißt das Besondere? Die Sache dabei ist halt, dass sich da ganz viele Leute treffen, die eben entweder mit dem CCC sympathisieren oder dort selber Mitglied sind und halt entweder sich ja hauptsächlich um Bits und Bytes herumbewegen, aber auch politische Inhalte und was weiß ich. Alles, was sich halt um diese Welt der großen bösen Wolke und alles drumherum bewegt.
Das böse Internet.
Zum Beispiel. Ja.
Ole, gibt es dieses Jahr irgendeine Besonderheit oder sind jeder Chaos Communication Kongress in irgendeiner Hinsicht gleich? Oder ist da irgendwas?
Ja, es gibt eine ganz große Besonderheit und der Anteil der neuen Leute, also die zum ersten Mal auf der Veranstaltung waren, ist immens groß. Der hat sich über die letzten Jahre schon sehr viel gesteigert, was halt auch zeigt, dass sich diese Szene halt eben vergrößert hat und in ganz verschiedenen Schichten der Gesellschaft, wenn ich mal so ausdrücken möchte, oder darf, wieder oder sich wiederfindet dort. Und da merkt man schon, dass es halt nicht mehr so ein Nischenpublikum ist. Also es sind irgendwie, ich weiß es nicht, also auf der Keynote, das heißt auf dem ersten Talk im Saal 1, es gibt drei Säle, wo dann verschiedene Talks abgehalten werden, wo irgendwelche Leute was erzählen, mehr oder weniger interessant. Und da wurde zum Beispiel am Anfang gefragt, wie viele Leute sind neu, und da hat man dann eindeutig gesehen, dass da, na sagen wir mal, gut ein Drittel neu war. Also zumindest von den Leuten da im Raum. Und das war schon eine relativ beeindruckende Zahl. Ansonsten ist es eigentlich wie immer, es ist wie immer rappelvoll und ja.
Lohnt es denn?
Was heißt wie immer, was?
Lohnt es denn?
Es lohnt dann, wenn man dort sich mit identifizieren kann, wenn man es mal so ausdrücken kann.
Was gibt's heute so als Tagesordnung? Oder ist die überhaupt nicht festgelegt?
Alles Mögliche. Also es ist, dann sollte man sich ein bisschen den Fahrplan anschauen. Das ist das Pentabar-System, da kann jeder gucken, was so passiert. Und dort sieht man dann die Räume und es gibt auch noch Workshops neben diesen besagten Vorträgen. Und allgemein treffen sich halt irgendwie die Leute, sitzen irgendwie an einem Tisch und schauen sich mal in die Augen, während sie irgendwas coden.
Alles klar. Gibt's noch irgendwas, über was wir noch reden müssen?
Eigentlich nicht. Ich soweit sagen.
Alles klar. Danke, Oleander.
Das Besondere ist halt irgendwie, dass auch das Medienecho inzwischen ziemlich groß ist. Also du siehst die ganze Zeit irgendwie.
Ja, eben die wichtigste Morningshow überhaupt ruft dich gerade an und berichtet drüber. Ja.
Nein.
Das ist natürlich so.
Ja.
Okay, danke, Oleander, und viel Spaß noch in Berlin.
Ja. Gut. Euch ebenfalls noch Tschüss und den lieben Hörern.
Die lieben Hörerinnen und Hörer an den Rundfunkempfangsgeräten hier in Marburg und Umgebung. Ja. Tschüss, Ole!
Tschüss.
Ja, en tot slot heb ik dan een stukje wat ik heb opgenomen van de Amerikaanse radio. Gaat over vleesetende paarden. En is een interview met Q-Cullen. Q-Cullen is een mede-longrider die de hele wereld overtrekt op zoek naar genenmateriaal van uitgestorven paardenrassen. Dit kan schokkend zijn.
Humans have known that horses can consume protein different types. I mean, when the book was released, there were originally 18 different types of meat, including human, that we knew horses had eaten. And this had occurred in 30 countries over a space of 4,000 years.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this English horse got loose and then systematically went through the streets of Lucknow, killing people and tearing them apart. And if you sit down with them, you say, okay, look, I'll just put it on the table and you decide. And I think that's what I'm talking about. You know, you're such a great example of this, Tim. I mean, you look at the book, you go, well, I don't know. You know, I see a lot of kooky stuff in my life and I don't know. And at the end of the book, you go, you know what? I think the guy's kind of right.
If I put the miles in, will you invite me into the Long Riders?
Maybe. Chicago is a long time coming, and you change getting there, I'll tell you.
What is going on, my friends? This is Tim Benall of BenallofAmerica.com with another edition of BOA Audio Season 6. Big, big thanks to our good buddy Pete Diggins for providing the theme music to this installment of the program. Check out his website, www.aurophonic.com, and you spell that AuroPhonic.com. Check it out. As noted at the end of last week's episode, tonight's program kicks off the final four of Season 6. Truly the home stretch for the season, and I can't think of a better guest for the home stretch than equestrian researcher and accomplished long rider, Colin O'Reilly for a discussion on his groundbreaking book, Deadly Equines, The Shocking True Story of Meat-Eating and Murderous Horses. I'll pause there and let you digest that, no pun intended, The Shocking True Story of Meat-Eating and Murderous Horses. Over the course of this two-hour adventure, we're going to discuss Cullen's powerful case for meat-eating horses, including historical accounts from ancient and contemporary times, the collective equestrian amnesia that has befallen our culture, and the reaction to his research from the equestrian community, the scientific community, and people who work with horses every day. But really, that's just the meat-eating horses part of the conversation, because we're also going to discuss murderous horses, a completely separate but equally bizarre anomaly that Cullen has uncovered. He's going to have a ton of stories about murderous horses and speculation on what makes them so savage. And as if all that is not enough, we're also going to talk about Cullen's accomplished career as a long rider and his organization, the Long Riders Guild. Chances are, if you're like me before I met Cullen, you don't have any idea what a long rider is. After you're done listening to this episode, you're going to have an extensive knowledge of the world of long riding. And trust me, my friends, it is amazing. We're going to learn all about the practice, the world of long riding. I don't even know if you'd call it a sport. I'm not quite sure what you'd call it. It's almost like a vision quest. And Cullen O'Reilly really is a major player in the world of long riding. So you're going to learn all about that stuff. Really a surprising sort of twist for me as I got into the conversation with Cullen, because I found the long riding stuff equally interesting to the meat-eating and murderous horses. So it's almost like a threefer episode here. Lots of stuff going on, lots of discussion on a whole bunch of different equestrian-related stuff. It is, pun intended, a barn burner of a program. This one is definitely going to end up in the rotation for BOA Audio Classic episodes. You are about to enjoy a true gem. Fascinating, enlightening, and awe-inspiring, this conversation is a proverbial long ride of esoteric insights on not only equines, but also humans, with the truly remarkable Cullen O'Reilly. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Cullen O'Reilly, allow me to provide you with a little background on him. Cullen O'Reilly has spent more than 30 years studying equestrian travel techniques on every continent. After having made lengthy trips by horseback across Pakistan, he was made a fellow of the Royal Geographical Society and the Explorers Club. Upon completing his book, Khyber Nights, he founded the Long Riders Guild, the world's first international association of equestrian explorers. The organization has members in 40 countries, all of whom have made a qualifying equestrian journey of at least 1,000 miles. The Guild has supported more than 100 equestrian expeditions on every continent except Antarctica. Cullen is married to the Swiss long rider Basha Cornwall-Leh, who rode her Cossack stallion Count Pompey from Volgograd to London, becoming the only person in the 20th century to ride out of Russia. The O'Reillys are the webmasters of the Long Riders Guild website. At 2,000-plus pages and still growing, and having now been visited by more than 1 million people worldwide, this website is the repository of the largest collection of equestrian travel information in human history. Additional material from the O'Reillys can be found at the Long Riders Guild Academic Foundation. And let me give you the URLs for both those websites. The Long Riders Guild can be found at thelongridersguild.com. Pretty simple, all one word, the Long Riders Guild. The Long Riders Guild Academic Foundation. This one's a little easier. It's just lrgaf.org. lrgaf.org. Long Riders Guild Academic Foundation. Check it out. And with all that said, let's get down to business and rock and roll. This interview was recorded on October 12th, 2011. Cullen O'Reilly talking about Deadly Equines, the shocking true story of meat-eating and murderous horses, on VOA Audio, Season 6. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of BOA Audio Season 6, and I am just super excited about this edition of the program. I had the fantastic opportunity to read this man's book yesterday and was completely blown away. If I wasn't reading it on the computer, I'd say that I couldn't put it down, but I couldn't pull myself away from the computer while I was reading this book. It was just that mind-blowing and amazing and fantastically put together, too. So just a complete all-around home run effort by this guy, and I'm dying to get him on the program here to talk about his fantastic research. The book I'm talking about is Deadly Equines, The Shocking True Story of Meat-Eating and Murderous Horses. And with a title like that, I'm sure people are like, whoa, this is going to be crazy. But like I said, when I went into the book, you know, he makes the case so well for meat-eating and murderous horses that by the end of the book, you're like, you know, your worldview has changed, at least as far as equines go. So just a fan.
And that's what happened.
Interesting. Okay. So just amazing stuff. Let's talk about this is what goes on, is what can be done, is what should be done. So,
well,
I mean, it's undeniable, sort of proof in a way, you know?
This gets back to another link that we suspect now. You know, imagine if you can, you know, there's a big flat table in front of us. And let's say that we've got all these little black dots. And you go, okay, I'm going to put one dot here. And then you move it up and you crush your magazine in London. And, you know, the spring fashion edition is one of the big things, you know, horse stomachs. And a horse has a single stomach like a human. And a horse has a jaw that can move back and forth and up and down like a human. It has teeth like humans. And so a horse can eat grass or grain or meat like a human. And cows and camels don't eat and digest like
humans. Thoughts on the zebra. Is it the same as the horse, that it's just an herbivore, that it's just a creature of prey, or is the zebra?
I prophesize that the idea that horses are capable of such the parameters of your universe. And, you know, I grew up in an American cowboy culture. You know, I went to an English writing school, and then I left England.
You say, you know, an intellectual equestrian vacuum, and then into this vacuum steps people to take advantage of that vacuum in a way that is probably nefarious in a lot of ways.
Well, I'm Tennessee Walkers. I mean, the stuff that goes on behind the barn doors is so nauseating, I won't tell you about it.
Number two. Now let's deal here with the emails. First one comes from Scott, no hometown listed. Here's what he has to say. I have a guest request. The PayPal button, that's on the left-hand side of your screen, and they'll walk you through the process. It is safe and secure. But maybe you don't trust PayPal, maybe you don't trust the internet, and you want to just make a donation via snail mail. That we can also help you out with, because we have, as mentioned earlier, the BOA P.O. Box. The address for that is Tim Benall, P.O. Box 232, Pinehurst, Mass. 01866, and you spell Pinehurst, P-I-N-E-H-U-R-S-T. So altogether it is Tim Benall, P.O. Box 232, Pinehurst, Mass. 01866. And if you send us a donation to the P.O. Box, we have two caveats. First, please make the donation out to Tim Benall and not Benall of America, since my bank is anal and they will not cash those donations. And the other is to please include your email address or some form of contact with your donation so I can reach out to you and thank you for helping BOA. It bears repeating once again here because I am a stickler about asking for donations, and I want to make sure folks know this every time. No donation is too small, and all donations go towards Benall of America and BOA Audio to help keep the audio series and website up and running, freely available, and commercial-free for all of our great readers and listeners the world over. Next week on the program, I would love to tell you who it is, but we have not taped the episode yet. We're going to tape it in about 2 days, so I don't want to spoil anything yet. I don't want to jinx anything yet, but I will give you a little bit of a teaser here, and that is one of the most popular BOA Audio guests ever on the program, someone we talked to for probably longer than anyone ever on BOA Audio, is coming back to the program, making his triumphant return to Benall of America Audio. in the last few weeks and months, he has been on a journey. He's going to tell us about his journey. He's going to give us an update on what he's been up to. And we're going to talk about a whole bunch of paranormal-related stuff. So that's the best teaser I can probably give. It is definitely a guest who is returning to the program by popular demand. It is not William Zabel, so we'll just end that rumor right now. It's definitely not William Zabel, but it is, as I said, one of the most popular BOA audio guests ever, and he'll be returning to the program next week on BOA Audio. I will put the full information once it is official on the BOA Facebook page, so stay tuned to find out more about who you'll be hearing next time on BOA Audio. And on that note, we close the book on another installment of the program. Big, big thanks once again to Cullen O'Reilly for coming on the show. Thanks to Scott and Steve for their correspondences on BOA Audio listener feedback. Thanks to Rick Thomas for sending me several copies of Beside Top Secret number 1. Check out his blog once again, besidetopsecret.blogspot.com. And finally, of course, big, big thanks to all you folks out there, the hardcore BOA Audio listeners, the people who have been supporting this program for so very long, and the folks who stick around all the way to the end of the program. You guys are the very best. Without your help and support, this program would be nothing, and that is a fact that is never lost on your humble host. You are the fuel that drives the BOA machine. Thank you for your tireless support, and thank you once again for making BOA Audio a part of your esoteric audio playlist. Until next time, this is Tim Banal, thanking you for listening and signing off.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log, but when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. You know I work all day to get your money to buy your things, and it's worth it just to hear you say you're gonna give me everything. So why on earth should I moan? 'Cause when I get you alone, you know I feel okay. When I'm home, everything seems to be right. When I'm home, feeling you holding me tight, tight. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log, but when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel.
کنم سفر از پی دلو چوبی رم ره سفر نشینم چوبو لبه دریا بگردم سر تا سر دنیا میانه گل ها ترکشم تنها همچو پروانه مست و دیوانه شبم مست از عطر و گل ها گل سرخ و لاله رنا شبم مست از عطر و گل ها گل سرخ و لاله رنا ساد باغ لیموی شیرا که هست و بود یه بخار آید به جان عاشق قرار آید که هست و بود یه بخار آید به جان عاشق قرار آید اگر روزی بخ برگردد پیش چشم عاشق زهر دری دیباید بیرون به جای پری دیگر جای دال بره کن دمه خار از سینه بستاها دیگر جای دال بره کن دمه خار از سینه بستاها
حرف سرد موقع نیموی شیرا که هست و یه بحار آید به جان عاشق قرار آید که هست و یه بحار آید به جان عاشق قرار آید اگر روزی بخت برگردد پیش چشم عاشق زهر تری بی باید بیرونه به جای پری دیگر جای لاله باره کن دمه خار از سینه بازگاه دیگر جای لاله باره کن دمه خار از سینه بازگاه دیگر جای لاله باره کن دمه خار از سینه بازگاه دیگر جای لاله باره کن دمه خار از سینه بازگاه دیگر جای لاله باره کن دمه خار Thank you.
Thank you.